All right, moving on to old business, Constitution Avenue Bridge updates. I don't believe we have. Do we have any updates?
I sent NEPA some information that we're awaiting another open records request because they're saying they had different structural studies done on the bridge.
And I got a 30-day bounce after the first 5 days, so.
And I saw that.
We're back in the waiting game for the new report.
I'm curious to see what the new report says, though.
I did talk to some folks yesterday who live over in that area and expressed some concern about options of making that bridge alternating traffic. That they felt that people go through there too quickly for that, that they would never stop and pause for someone coming from the other direction. Overall, people were advocating that they wanted it to be repaired and didn't really want to see it go anything other than
bridge.
Vehicular traffic, but they also understand, you know, the expense. Folks were frustrated how it got to that position. I had folks ask me about what the county is doing with the $5 fee that goes on everyone's registration.
And PennDOT brought that up too, but they're so far behind on all their bridges.
The county, based on what they gave out at the road task force meeting that you gave us, Bob,
mm-hmm.
The county took out a bond in 2017 for a bridge repair, and they're using that $5 fee to pay the bond.
Yeah.
So those funds are already allocated. But, you know, so no answers there, but folks are concerned, and I did want to ask you, Gary, who plows the actual bridge?
We do.
So I think we need to make sure that all our drivers know that how important it is for them to be very careful of those sidewalls mm-hmm. when they're plowing. I know we have some new folks, right? Some folks who don't have a lot of experience plowing with us.
And most of you guys have.
And we have that new part-timer, right? So he's not going to be plowing?
No.
Okay.
He's hardly working. He's post office keeping him hopping.
Okay. Very good. And then, you know, I did talk to a number of them about the local traffic only. And, you know, everyone feels the same way, that the enforcement of that is never going to work.
Yeah, you can't enforce
that. That everyone is going to continue to use that to cut off. I did have folks who, you know, who live there tell me, yeah, the school bus definitely goes over there
yeah.
every day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've only seen it for 45 years.
And folks have had opposite opinions about if you made it one way, which way that should be.
If it's going to be one way, it should be in on Constitution and out to Sarah Street.
Yep.
That would be the only way that would work.
Yep.
I think that
it's
in
a
the
safer,
end...
It's a safer route for anybody making, like the school bus, if they were going to go in there and come out and make the right to go to Moon Valley. It's a safer way to go that way than to make the right by the Shell station, because that road's just narrow, and a lot of people don't stay to the right. They kind of in the middle of the road when they're pulling out.
That's what they were saying. That's what people were saying, that they are in the middle of the bridge when they come across the bridge as it is.
Yeah.
And that if there wasn't room, there would be even more accidents. But it just goes to show you the likelihood of there being an accident where okay. the sidewalks are hit. You know, it seems like it's
the sidewalls aren't in great shape. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. They're cracked and they're opening up. But the question is going to be the repair of the sidewalls, because it's a short bridge, isn't going to cost a lot of money unless you want it to look the historic look. Then you're talking extra money to give it that appearance again. So, to me, make it a bridge.
Yeah.
We already did the substructure. It's not all original.
The PennDOT multimodal program is not open. It the last 2 years has been open this time of year, but it is not currently open. I did have an occasion to talk to the secretary accidentally, and I talked to him about that bridge, and he was glad that the county's already charging the fee and suggests that the county pursue grant dollars to help with the cost of all their bridge repairs.
Well, we discussed that in the road task force meeting, and they did, said they applied for the grants. Krista said she applied, they applied for grants and were turned down because there's no high demand for it, like the school bus. I said, but the school bus uses it every day. They said, no, they don't.
Yes, I saw that in the report that the, that they're saying that the school bus doesn't go over it.
Well, they do.
And then when I said, I see it there all the time, they said, well, that must be the driver's fault.
It's not the driver's fault.
No.
Very odd that I filed a right to know request for any grant applications that they filed for the bridge, and they gave me back no grant applications. And then I filed an email back with them saying, would you please confirm that you didn't give me any grant applications because there were no grant applications, and not that I need to file an appeal for information that's not being given. And they confirmed that they had no grant applications. So it's kind of odd that they would then also say this. But it's also odd that I am having reporters tell me when the information that we have is not accurate, and going back to the county after they've answered my grant request, and they're telling me, oh yeah, there are newer things than what we gave you, and you'll have to file another request to get those, which is frustrating to have to wait. And then you have commissioners saying, well, why is it taking so long for you to communicate with us? That just doesn't...
For another municipality to be pushing right to know, it's just...
It's frustrating.
It's just wrong.
Frustrating. The information shouldn't be that difficult to obtain.
It's just wrong. That's wrong.
Especially when it pertains to this township.
Yeah.
It should just be given to you.
You're doing your best.
Wait, and hopefully this time the information will be all the information that's outstanding on that subject. So,
okay, moving on. The new printer.
Let's take that right off the agenda, and we're not going to put it back on until I see the printer.
Okay. On an aside pertaining to that, the inspector supplies line item in our budget that looked like it was over budget is not actually over budget, because the permit manager software payment was in there.
Right.
And that belongs in another line item. So moving that over, that line item is not over budget, and there is money in that line item that can pay for a small printer. I mean, not a copy machine style printer, but I don't think they're looking for that.
He actually says he's got a copy machine. Like, it's one similar to what's in the office. He says, but it's going to be cheap.
He says, what's cheap in his mind? Cheap means something different to different people.
No, I think he was talking between $100 and $200.
Well, that line item does have enough
money for that. Let's see what he comes up with. That's why I said take it off the agenda for now.
Okay, moving on. Appointment of Planning Commission member.
So we had a vacancy because of Mike Williams' resignation, and yesterday I was speaking with one of the people who came in to vote, and they indicated their willingness and actually went home and sent an email in asking to be appointed. Bob Brown is a plumbing and mechanical contractor by trade. He served on the Planning Commission when he lived in Westfall and did a short stint as supervisor in Westfall. So he's pretty familiar with the general process and practice. And he's willing to serve. I was pretty surprised that he jumped right on sending an email in. We did not get any others. I think you thought you had someone who said they changed their mind.
Yeah, he's just too busy.
And I know there was someone else who inquired with me who didn't follow up. Kevin, what's your take?
This is pretty new to me, and I don't know, so it's for the pleasure of the supervisor.
Do you want a chance to meet somebody? Do you want to make a phone call?
Well, you want to,
you want us to table
in,
it, or you want us
come
to
come into our workshop? You know Bobby?
vaguely. So.
The two of you sit on the planning commission, yeah. So I mean, I think it's great that we have somebody who actually followed up and wants to serve is qualified.
People that have interest, and we can work with pretty much anybody.
I think we can work with Bobby. I've known Bobby in quite a few years, probably 25 years.
All right, I'll make a
motion. Most people know him as Boston Bob.
So. Yeah, Boston Bob.
Boston Plumbing and Heating was his business name, right? And then I think Boston Mechanical after that.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion that we appoint Robert Brown to the Planning Commission for the remainder of the term of Mike Williams.
Okay. I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 So passed.
Please follow up and let Mr. Brown know.
Okay, now we're moving on to the 26th budget.
The budget. So we were working on the budget in the workshop. There were, I think, three modifications off the printout that you have, which is True Green in the landscaping line item, which is a $550 expense. Training, which is a brand new line item for $500, a brand new line item for grant application for $300. Any other modifications?
Not that I see of.
All right, this budget is a hold the line budget, similar to last year in that there's no tax increase. It is almost identical to last year in terms of it is a deficit budget that is relying on the surplus from the previous year in order to meet the gap. This budget, when you look at the numbers, I will note that there's $50,000 of spending on that of that gap is one-time expense. For paving the parking lot, we have been awarded $100,000 for paving the parking lot, but we anticipate that it will cost more like $150,000. We have filed three grant applications so far to try to get more grant funding for that and for other municipal facilities improvements that at least two of which have not been responded to yet. But this would give us the ability to at least move forward with the parking lot portion of the project, regardless of whether we get another award or not in the current
cycle. Right now, that would be our top priority.
Yeah, because it's helicopter lands are all time.
Actually, just the other day, Mike was telling me yesterday that they were out there over the weekend.
Yeah.
For the
Well, first thing we did Monday morning was sweep the sidewalk off, come in the building and tell them. Much gravel was on the side.
For the purpose of the press, if you make sure that they understand the importance of the parking lot, why it's so important.
Yeah, because Medevac lands here, when Medevac is landing in our parking lot and there's loose gravel because the parking lot is not in good shape, it gets in the air, right? So when the fire department knows that Medevac is coming, they come in with leaf blowers and they have to blow all the loose stone out of the way to make sure that it doesn't break any of our windows or do any damage because it starts flying in the air from the helicopter.
And get everybody to move their cars.
If there's people here at the time.
Yeah.
They express to us their concern that we, address the parking lot issue to make sure that they don't, have a result of breaking any of the building windows. And of course, we don't want to have the fire department guys have to do those extra steps when they're waiting for Medevac to come in. Just generally, we need to maintain our facilities in a standard that, it only gets worse. It's like not changing the oil in your car. If you don't fix it now, you're going to end up with a bigger problem, right? So we need to make sure that we're, addressing some of the issues. That's only one of the many, but that's the one that I would say is the most urgent at this point in time. And we've been applying for grant applications to help fund it for probably at least three years now. And we have been awarded $100,000 of that so far. So right now, the statewide LSA program is on the schedule for the November 18th Kamala Finance Authority meeting, but unless the state comes to a budget agreement before then, that meeting is anticipated to be canceled, which means the soonest we would see any response from last November is January, their January meeting. So, you know, there's a good, and that's putting their system behind, so that means when they start doing things, it's going to take them a while to get caught up, and some of the applications that maybe would have had answers in May, in March, might not have answers until next September, right? So that would put us behind, you know, paving season to a certain extent when we've got to bid and all those things first. So, so there's $50,000 of the sort of current expense versus income deficit is that one-time expense.
So on the budget, quick question, EIT, you've gone away from that? You're still talking about it, thinking about it?
It's not a part of that budget for next year. I think personally that it is something that is not going to go away in the long term. And I think that as we move as a county into reassessment, that might be the better moment. You know, I have concerns for our senior citizens when we get into reassessment, because the folks who have lived here for a really long time and maintained their properties are going to see steep increases in the value of their homes when they're reassessed, right? If you did maintain your property, then maybe not so much. But if you had the ability to maintain your property, you may really see that value get up very high. And for folks who are on fixed incomes, that could really hurt them. In EIT, their Social Security income, their retirement withdrawals, all those things are not subject to that tax, as you know.
Right.
So that might be a way for us to sort of reduce the burden on them that the reassessment might otherwise provide. But this budget is status quo, exactly what we're doing now in terms of income. We were fortunate for two things this year. One is that we had a person depart from working for the township, and we did not fill the vacancy. And we had a good transfer tax year, a halfway decent transfer tax year. And that really has been kind of pivotal for the township. For transfer tax revenue is hard to predict, but, you know, it can really kind of make or break us in terms of the ability to make our budget numbers work.
That's a good strategy, but I'm thinking the reassessment's probably what, like, it sounds like nobody's really sure, 2 years, 3 years down the road, right? So.
Right. Well, this is next year's budget, and there's no changes.
Okay.
So
you talked about the fact that there are no changes. I mean, we can go back a couple months. I just watching the tape a couple weeks ago that where you guys were just adamant about the fact, you know, Gary, you know, talking about there's going to be a tax increase. You're talking about some carryover from the previous year that's going to get you through. Is that money going back to when the federal money came in? Is that some of that residual that's left over?
It's not that the federal money was left over. It's that we used the federal money on some routine expenditure items, and which we were allowed to do. And that allowed us to have a surplus. So, yes.
So those federal funds that came in with
that and spending and spending being, you know, spending being lower than anticipated, you know, as I said, not having that second person in the office for probably, I think Donna left in June, right? Yeah. So more than half of the year. So that's a significant amount of money that wasn't spent. You know, winter labor, you know, depends on how much we have snowstorms, those kinds of expenses. We've been, I think, very careful about our expenses, and it shows. We have some money left over, which is great, and we're going to use it to try to help people get through this difficult time without increasing their taxes. That's the proposal, anyway.
Yep. So the budget's going to be advertised, and then when do you expect to vote it into place?
So it has to be advertised for 30 days. So it would be our second December meeting, which is it the 15th, Gary?
That's what I'm looking at right now, yes. December 15th.
All right, so the draft budget with the three changes that we talked about, True Green training and grant applications, I would make a motion that we advertise that budget.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So is the True Green pulled? Did you guys get rid of it?
True no. Green is back in.
Back in.
And how, that's about 500 a year?
Mm-hmm. Cool. And right. 500 for training for our team and 300 for grant application fees.
So we need to make a motion. Set that meeting up.
You want a separate motion for that?
I believe so. Because we just,
okay.
The only motion we have right now is.
Is for the budget itself. Okay. So I'll make a motion that we schedule the budget hearing for December 15th at 7:15.
I will second that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. And to say and advertise.
And advertise.
And advertise, yes.
So.
I'll second that.
Aye.
And aye.
Aye.
Very good.
Any other public participation? Kevin.
I know that this is an ongoing long subject, but we have to address our own 537 plan, and that starts with the planning commission, and I think that that's something that we should begin to focus on this year, because we're going to have we're going to get asked by DEP to produce one because of our involvement with the other 537 plan, or lack of involvement, however you want to look at that. The boogeyman is the Olds ordinance. And I don't know, but we need to get some direction on, maybe there is a more practical way to apply that than to require pumping every several years, or because the problem, from my understanding, is the enforcement. Is that the townships that have put it in aren't able to enforce it?
They're not able to enforce it. And what you're counting on is people sending in their receipts, that you know, copies of their receipts that they had it pumped out, and you technically wouldn't have to leave the office, and you can just file it, but and you'd have to keep a record of it to make sure everybody did it. But they, over the years, that's still not a regulation yet. The DEP has not made that a regulation.
Okay.
The some of the areas that have it, they're using 3 to 5 years, depending where you're at. But that's all in-house. Like Hemlock Farms has a pump out ordinance. Mount Sunrise, they don't even have septic, but. A couple of them have their own ordinances. Some of the
you mean the communities?
The communities. Dingman's has one.
Well, Delaware, I believe.
Delaware has one.
But that hasn't been enforceable. That hasn't. So
it's very hard to enforce it, especially when you got as many properties as they have.
Well, with the problems that they've had with the enforcement and the problems that they have with it, maybe we should. Trying to think out of the box a little bit, maybe we should be providing for an educational
That's
mailing.
That's what I was just about to say.
What we need to do is once a year include that in our 537 plan.
Send out a flyer to people on things to look for, things to maintain, best practices. I always tell people, if you pump out every 3 to 5 years, that it costs you $350. That's the cheapest insurance you're going to get not to have to repair your septic system.
Right. So there may be some ways that we can go that would help the constituents. Forcing them is actually another tax. You know, if you have to pump it and you're forced to do that, it's just another tax.
It's a mandatory expenditure.
Well, right, how does that work, Bob? I recall Chris Wood talking about cesspools, you know, and that the second you open them, they usually collapse.
No,
that's not true.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Okay.
These cesspools have been around 100, 150 years, and some of them look like bunkers. They're so big. And it's just amazing the way the construction of them, really.
I did that for years, opened them up and refurbished and did whatever. And there's some in the borough that were not open, that I opened, that were not open for 50 years.
We just did one yesterday. Or 2 days ago.
This is how well they work. The problem is they finally get full and packed to the point where, but it, you can actually pressure wash them and revitalize them. Some of the ones that were built in the 60s that were built out of cinder blocks will collapse.
Local, those.
Yeah, some of them
they did
will,
great.
But the older ones that were
stone.
That were stone that they hand laid from the material that came out of them. They're very stable structures.
2 days ago, we pumped one. We opened one that hadn't been pumped in 55 years.
Right. So.
And after still, after pumping it out, it was in good shape.
And still working.
Still working.
So.
If they would have pumped the solids out, it would have never went dead. But.
Right. But with the type of systems that we have now and the stuff, it is necessary to pump the tanks to keep the solids out of the fields. So, I guess what I'm saying is, I appreciate the work on the budget and that kind of thing, but a 537 plan does require some money.
Well, give me till the next meeting. Let me see what's out there. Let me see what I can put together.
There are other grants.
537 plan for us is not a hard plan.
Right, and it shouldn't be.
No.
But we need advice so that we satisfy what's
coming down the plan.
What's going to be asked of us? Yeah. That's all. We're going to be asked.
And I think I got a good feel for what we got to do, what I got to look for.
The only program that I know of that does 537 plans is the Small Water and Sewer Program, but that program requires that you have the DEP approved. Checklist before you apply.
Well, that we could look into. There's my fear is the way that it's being worded now. For anybody that would want to hook to the system that's put in, is actually stating that they're requiring them to do a 537 plan on their own for an individual hookup,
right?
Which is a little bit over the top.
And it was in our old plan that people could hook up if it became available,
right?
And we can still make it that way. And I don't see an issue with that.
Well, we have to be careful with where they include us. So I think we should work on the 537 and not be overly concerned about what our neighbors are forcing us to do. But we have to deal with it.
Right.
So that, and I don't know if the supervisors are on the same page we're on. Right.
So. I would want to get ahead of the game.
Thank you.
Okay. Let us know what you figure out.
Anything else?
On that vein, though, has there been any progress about the planner? I sent around the planner that Lee recommended with the cover letter, you know, his curriculum vitae, mm-hmm. and his fees.
I brought him forward to the planning board because I have his and I also have Nancy's.
Mm-hmm.
And
a planner in respect to the 537 is fine.
Well, we have stalled on the warehouse stuff that John was working on, right? I haven't seen anything come back, which is probably because he's so busy.
No, they were talking again right before our last meeting, so he's putting something together now.
Yeah, actually, Scott Sheldon called me yesterday and asked me about that, too.
Yeah, Scott, he texts me like once a week.
So we have that. We have the data center where we've advertised for the moratorium ordinance, but that gives us 6 months to come up with our ordinance.
Actually, we were looking at the one ordinance that the county put together.
The model that they had,
and we all have it now. We're going through it and make our suggestions. And that seems to be, out of the five that I looked at, that seems to be the better one. Surprisingly, but it's the better one. So that's where we're at. We're, right now we're reviewing that one and making our suggestions or changes to what we think it might be on there, and then we'll get together at the next meeting, can discuss it a little bit.
Well, and I think that all of those things are important, but the truth is if we get into a, we get into an issue with the 537 plan and DEP decides that we're not where we need to be, it's going to affect the construction in the township, and I don't want it to go that far.
No.
It's just the practical concern is if people want to fix their stuff or want to build a house, we don't want to.
I got to open my file, because I did start working on it when we backed out. And then we decided we were going to wait and see what happened first before where we stood when this finally was over. So I can start on that again.
And where I was going before is once we get to the point where we're, I believe that we should have something that's simple and straightforward, but it also should be checked by an engineer that has expertise in that so that we don't miss something.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be, we can't avoid all the costs.
No, but if I can put something together, then it's just a review with comments rather than a drafting.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Anything else under public participation?
Right, so you guys were working on section 407 of the zoning, right, but with regard to the warehouse. And I think the last I heard of it, you were looking to get a meeting together with Milford Water Authority to kind of see how the...
We're still working on the 407 part, the warehouse ordinance.
Yeah.
That's what we were just discussing.
Our engineer has.
Our engineer is putting something together.
Your engineer? Right.
Yeah.
Our engineer. Okay. Right.
Any idea of a time frame for that?
Between now and when he's done?
We would have thought. We honestly
maybe
thought,
the gift wrapped under the Christmas tree.
We honestly thought we'd be further in.
Yeah, we thought we'd be further ahead already, but it's taking some time.
And that's, I think, I mean, John is a sole practitioner, and he's a really busy, in-demand person, which is one of the benefits of having a planner to go to.
Plus, he's going back and forth with the solicitor, you know, so they make sure everything is proper.
Anything else on the public participation? Donna, make a motion.
Thanks, everybody.
Don't leave yet.
Why?
I got something for you in the car.
Oh.
I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Go pass.
Shauna, please